Item 195 to take up first.
Appeal of David Venadia against the noise variance granted to Anderson Construction for the Unico Overton apartment project located at the block bounded by Northwest 12th Avenue, Northwest Overton Street, Northwest 13th Avenue, and Northwest Petty Grove Street.
Mr. Van Orden is here with a staff presentation.
Thank you, City Council. Paul Van Orden, Noise Control Officer for the City with ONI. Today, for variance number 3501908 on the docket, the variance for Anderson Construction, staff would recommend that we grant the appeal from the neighbors regarding the removal of Sunday work from the conditions of the noise variance that we had approved. And in this case, you may recall from our past hearings that the construction company has been amenable to removing their 10 dates of Sunday work. So on one level, it may be a moot discussion, but staff thinks it would be appropriate to grant the appeal. During our last dialogue, council had directed ONI staff to meet with the appellant, Mr. David Venadia, Gwen Seymour, Mary Helen Kincaid, along with Assistant Chief Day and Chad Stover from the mayor's office after our last council hearing to explore some potential improvements to the concerns in the Pearl for construction noise. And as a result of that discussion, Assistant Chief Day had committed to working with dispatch to ensure that we had special reports and records of what was happening with construction noise forwarded to the noise office so we could potentially move forward with enforcement action based on officers' observations. Teresa Marchetti and ONI had followed up with dispatch with the Police Bureau to see if we had had any noise complaints on which we could act, and to date, the noise office does not have any record of complaints in the Pearl with which we could move forward with a violation or examine a potential record of concerns. I think there may be one date that the neighbors had a concern that they did not get the response that they wanted from dispatch, but I don't have a record to really comment on that particular element. The other component of our last discussion was a request from council that we explore improvements to notification with the community in regards to our noise variances. Our initial attempts to improve that system definitely had some good critique from Mary Helen Kincaid, who's here today. And our first attempts were to post a list of variances. And that was a little bit confusing because it was citywide. It's still fairly short because we're not processing a lot of noise variances this time of year. We're not really in our busy season. And what we decided to switch to is we're now using a system where we post our variances every day when I sign off on those, the internal noise officer variances, and Kathy posts them up online. And then on Fridays, she sends a reminder link to the neighborhood offices that they can find those on ONI's website. We had some dialogues with Mary Helen about that, and it was clear that even within the coalition offices, since this was so new, there was confusion about where that information could be found and where they wanted us to email that over to the coalition offices. So as of today, I've made some calls, and we're going to fine-tune who within each one of the coalition offices gets that link. So, for instance, in Southeast Uplift, we were sending it to one particular staffer, and the main person in charge has asked that I send them directly to her. So we're making some fine tuning and changes to that to ensure that at least our initial system is received in the coalition offices and that they have an opportunity to disseminate it. More importantly, what we're doing right now is not searchable and not very usable by a citizen. So the long-term goal within ONI is in moving from BDS over to ONI, we have increased our intake in noise variances a bit, probably primarily because of the increase in construction work. And we think we have some money there to help get someone in to help create a system that's more searchable in the coming months so that if a citizen wants to look up their particular neighborhood, a street, a particular project, they would have that capacity. Right now, what we're doing is just getting the variances up. So if someone calls us, we can give them a link to the particular variance and they can just pull it right up online. But until we have something that's more searchable, it's not the most usable system currently. I would also like to report to the council that one of the big items that we examined over the last several hearings on this concept was the idea of what is an appropriate venue for review for noise variances in terms of should the most rudimentary variances always come to City Council. And I think that we'll see within the dialogue of potential code changes coming down the pike in the next several months from the Noise Review Board that the chair has expressed a willingness to explore this question of what is an appropriate venue of review for the noise variances, and that they'll be undertaking a dialogue of are there some more basic variances that make more sense to go back to the Noise Review Board if I've processed them or to the code hearings office. So I think that's been a very valuable dialogue because the city is changing. We process between 550 to 600 variances annually, and it may be an appropriate question to explore and bring back to council in terms of a venue of review with the hearings office or the Noise Review Board for more basic noise variances while likely maintaining the most complex noise variances coming back to city council, like the Milwaukee light rail projects with TriMet and other large projects. That's the general information I want to bring back to council. You may have some questions that I could answer.
Questions for Paul? So again, your recommendation is that we grant the appeal, and that in effect the request of the appeal has been granted or has been assured, and that by granting the appeal we enshrine that understanding between
the
appellant and the construction company.
Yes, and I think the important note for council is that it just reinforces the tone that what I'm attempting to do as the noise control officer is see what opportunities we have to reinforce the tone that Sundays are a day for respite, not for any particular religious reasons, but because it is a day that is generally commonly accepted as a day when citizens would expect some rest from construction. So I will do my due diligence to carry that over into other variances that I review, as well as the dialogue we've had here about issues in the Pearl.
Any other questions for Paul? Thank you. We wouldn't normally open the record at this point for more testimony because we have conducted a hearing. I might give Mr. Vanady a moment to just briefly come up, and I know Mary Helen Kincaid wanted to. So did you want to speak, Mary Helen? Again, I don't want to relitigate the hearing, but before we take an action on Mr. Van Orden's recommendation, I'll give you just a minute or two to add any thoughts that you might have for us, please.
Hi, thank you. I'm David Vanadia, and I just have a little thing that I wrote that I'd like to read. It's not very long. I'd like to clear up any confusion for the people who are watching at home, and then I would like to talk about the events that happened since our last meeting, and I'd like to propose a solution. Title 18's policy statement says it is the intent of the City Council to minimize the exposure of citizens to the potential negative physiological and psychological effects of excessive noise and protect, promote, and preserve the public health, safety, and welfare. It is the intent of the City Council to control the level of noise in a manner that promotes the use, value, and enjoyment of property, conduct of business, sleep, and repose, and reduces unnecessary and excessive sound in the environment. Title 18 Bureau Action states that all city bureaus shall, to the fullest extent consistent with their authorities under other titles administered by them, carry out their programs in such a manner as to further the provisions of this title, and shall cooperate to the fullest extent in enforcing the provisions of this title. And finally, Title 18 Authority of Enforcement says, this title shall be enforced by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and by the Bureau of Police. Duly authorized agents of either of these bureaus should have citation authority for purposes of enforcing this title. And so this title, of course, is Title 18, the Portland's Noise Control. 1 month ago, Anderson Construction agreed to not work on Sundays, days which citizens should already have off. So Anderson gave up something they shouldn't have been granted in the first place and something they claim they never planned to use. 1 month ago, David Sweet, the Noise Board Chair, said he would restrict construction activity from companies who had logged complaints. Yet, at the past two Noise Board meetings, he ignored citizen testimony from several different residences and granted multiple construction variances regardless, sometimes without authority. 1 month ago, Chad Stover from the Mayor's Office committed to having the city attorney look into noise ordinance, whatever that meant. We never heard from him again. 1 month ago, Assistant Chief Bob Day committed to try having officers actually respond to noise complaint calls and write special reports, but he refused to do enforcement because noise ordinance confuses police. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement didn't make any commitment. Teresa Marchetti labeled the past month a 30-day trial period. Since we last met, city agents have promised to try to meet the absolute minimum agreements of Title 18 temporarily. From what I can tell, this has been going on for years. Meanwhile, we have what looks like 5 a.m. starts happening at the Anderson Unico Overton site this week. Five of those days are to erect their tower crane, despite the fact that Anderson does not have a variance for crane activity. Perhaps that's the reason why they scheduled the work after today's hearing. I don't know. We expect at least another 35 a.m. granted starts from them this year alone, and that's not counting any other construction activity in our neighborhood. My wife Gwen and I have invested countless hours. We've communicated with neighbors, developers, construction workers, law enforcement, noise board members, city liaisons, building managers, the noise office, and finally with you, the members of city council. Over the past year, we have made many suggestions about how to improve livability with regard to construction noise. Despite the extreme resistance we've encountered, we haven't given up. In fact, we've come up with a solution that is simple and provides an immediate, effective, balanced, and equitable resolution. And here it is. When there are three or more construction sites located within a two-block radius, and a noise-receiving residence exists and predates the construction within that same radius, the area shall be deemed a concentration area, inside which no work shall take place from 6 p.m. on Fridays until Monday mornings. We call this no-work weekends. Here are the benefits. One, there's variances. Variance work can still happen Mondays through Fridays as needed. Construction companies have told us that they need at least a 3-day window to plan for variance work. With no-work weekends, they still have 5 days to do variance-granted large-volume concrete pours, crane erections, jumps, and dismantling. Livability. At the February Noise Board meeting, an ODOT construction representative, who is applying for a noise variance, told the board that his workers have better morale and are more productive when they have time off on the weekends. In fact, my wife received an angry response this week from an Anderson employee because she emailed him on a Sunday. So we know that construction workers value their repose as much as we do. Enforcement. Local police can be informed of a concentration area by the noise office and can easily and effectively enforce no-work weekends in that area without confusion or hesitation because there are clear and solid boundaries. And notification. Did I mention notification? Basically, we all agree that notification is broken. Construction companies won't or don't notify neighbors, and neighbors can't track construction activity, especially when there's three or more sites in the area. In a concentration area, ongoing company notification requirements would be dropped because the city would announce to the residents that they're in a concentration area, which will be noisy during the week and quiet over the no-work weekends. This sets up realistic yet fair expectations. And as far as equity goes, using standard ordinance hours and with no-work weekends enacted, developers and construction companies still have 55 legal workable hours per week, with an additional 30 hours at hand should they apply for a noise variance, bringing the total to 85 available noise-producing work hours per week. If you feel hesitant about taking weekend hours away from construction companies, consider that construction workers often start around 6 a.m. each day for staging, removal of fencing, setting up equipment, driving forklifts, receiving deliveries, warming up generator engines, emptying trash dumpsters, or similar such noisy pre-construction activity. In the warm months when residents have their windows open, the frequency of early starts increase as workers begin to avoid the sun. Remember, you heard about this in October from a citizen who said that she woke up at 5 a.m. every morning last summer and put in earplugs so she could attempt to get another hour of sleep. An average daily 6 a.m. start means companies are stealing 6 hours a week from residents. And that's not counting variance workdays. That's time taken from the neighborhood that never gets returned to residents in any way. What are 6 hours of your time worth? How about 6 hours of your time per week over the course, temporary course, of 2 to 4 years? Since the city won't post an officer in the neighborhood to enforce in the way that police park roadside to enforce speed limits, it is my belief that these unlawful early morning starts would be more tolerable with no work weekends enacted, because residents in a concentration area would have a well-deserved weekly break from the constant compromise of construction noise, dirt, and congestion. Developers and construction companies might not like the sound of no-work weekends, but I'd like to remind them that it's just temporary, and it only happens if there are too many construction sites surrounding people's homes and damaging their livability. And after all, if developers and construction companies don't like having to accommodate neighboring homes, they probably shouldn't be building in a densely populated urban area anyway. Please, don't continue to put this off for another 4 months while promising to do something that's already supposed to be getting done. Let's do something today. Experiment in my neighborhood and we'll find out if it works. Or try it in Paul's neighborhood and see how they like it. Or let's do it all over Portland. Maybe we could enact an emergency ordinance. Portland's true Office of Neighborhood Involvement is right here in this chamber. And we're here, we're active, and we're involved. Will you please try this at least for 30 days?
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mary Ellen?
I was going to say, but wait, there's more. But I think David aptly described the situation that they're living in. And one of the things that he's asking for is to do something different. In 2001, there was a noise task force. And Mayor Hales, you were on the commission, and the cover letter from Margaret Mahoney says, we are now working on implementation of the recommendations. Many of those recommendations are the ones that he's asking for. They were asked for about pile drivers, about noise, about better notification, about education. Those weren't implemented. There's been 13 years that they've had an opportunity to implement these things. So I'm suggesting, and I'm going to base this on my good luck, I'm going to people have said skill, but good luck with the demolition committee, that I was able to bring diverse people into a room. We were able to converse, and I was able to convince them to come to this. We didn't have to hire a high-paid consultant. We had staff people. I think that there are some staff people in different bureaus or within ONI that we could bring results. There's nobody that's not wanting to do this. You heard from Paul that he's eager. I was really glad that he listened and mentioned my name on a number of those suggestions that they're working on. Notification is broken. It's kind of screwy. And why notify people when it's only going to make, in a way that's only going to make them get more frustrated and mad? I think it's time to try something different, because this isn't just about the Pearl. It's going to happen on Division. It's going to happen on Fremont. It's happening on Williams. Spoke with some North Portland people today that are concerned about Lombard and the noise and the density kinds of buildings that are going to happen there. What's going to happen to the neighborhoods that abut up to that? So I think this is an opportunity to do a good thing. Maybe we'll make recommendations and they won't work. That's happening kind of with the demolition. I don't think you will hear Paul say things that, you know, he's issued more citations. I don't think that's a good thing. If people are getting issued citations, they obviously don't know what the rules are. And if we can educate them to what the rules are, then you don't have to issue citations and you don't have to get neighbors angry. He mentioned about the police notification. If people don't know, they can complain to the police. And prior to all of this, they didn't. And nobody's told them that they could. Of course, nobody's called the police. I mean, that only makes sense. If I don't know that I could do that, I wouldn't. The coalition, he spoke about the coalition offices. They weren't even informed that they were going to get this information. I checked with them for like 3 weeks in a row, and they didn't get it. Paul said he talked to people today. That's a really good improvement, because I talked with him Tuesday and gave him that same information. But they're not really that well equipped. If they get it on Friday, most of the coalition offices are very short-staffed and closed. And so that information is not going to get to anybody till Monday, and so the entire weekend. I suggested that the same kind of notification that BDS uses for land use reviews, just model that behavior. The technology's there, the system's there, there's a best practice of how those people get noticed, the variance gets posted. I don't know what the best venue for granting variances are, but I think smart people in a room could probably determine that. For review, I mean, the Public Works Appeals Panel looks at people that are appealing infrastructure development, and it's a citizen panel and some staff, maybe something similar to that. I think it's time to revisit some of the recommendations that were made 13 years ago, but there's also new ways because we're 13 years further down the pike, and there's also going to be, again, the whole density issue is going to create these kind of problems in different parts of the neighborhood, and I don't think you want to keep seeing people coming in and appealing variances to noise because they don't like it if we don't find a good solution. So my suggestion is, and I'm willing to help with this, even though I don't want to have to keep coming back here and saying this, but I think we can do it. I think we could put a panel together. I'm willing to work with whoever you decide can be the lead person on this because it's going to take, I think, a couple bureaus and some bright minds that are in those bureaus to bring some ideas together so that we can make it better for the residents in the Pearl and then those people that might be affected further down the road. So I'd like to see if anything comes out of this appeal that the recommendation is that, yes, grant the appeal, but that's not going to solve all the other inherent problems, and there's skills to be had in other places that can be utilized to make this whole situation better. So that's how I came into this. That's my whole goal and recommendation. Thank you for letting me say that.
Thank you both. Any questions for either Mr. Benadia or our amazing volunteer, Mary Helen? So. All right. Thank you both. Thanks very much.
Can I make a motion to accept the appeal as was presented by Paul?
Second. And Mayor, I'd like to ask what do you see as the next steps?
Yeah. Well, let's take a roll call in a minute on the motion to grant the appeal, but I think we do need to review our code. I think this case and the situation in general that you've helped highlight has illustrated that we've got some problems in the code as it now stands, and there are places where I think our code needs to be stronger, and you've come up with a creative suggestion here. I'm not sure if that's where we'll end up, but it's a good one. But I think between Paul Van Orden and the Noise Review Board and staff in my office, we'd be prepared to support that kind of consortium effort, call on some people like Mary Ellen who are willing to help.
One thing I forgot, and I just saw in my notes because when I went by it, I forgot what JD meant. Jackie Dingfelder has been instrumental in helping try to bring these things together.
Yeah.
And I think she has the wherewithal to help guide it as well. She's watching us on TV. She might slap me if she hears me saying that. But
I think both Jackie and Chad are prepared to work
on
this.
I mean, so. I would just like to see some sort of action that says, yes, form a committee and we can move forward, because otherwise we're going to be 13 years more down the road with recommendations that aren't implemented, and I don't think
that's your intent, Mayor.
That is my intent.
Okay.
Is that a good idea?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will proceed. All right, then let's take a roll call on the motion to grant the appeal.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Mr. Vanadia, and Gwen, your wife, and all of the neighbors who testified on this. It's been a while, and I would come to a good conclusion. I appreciate the work of Paul Van Orden and the Noise Office in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. With the direction from the mayor that he's going to form the task force and with the understanding from the Noise Office that they should be very reluctant to grant any more variances on Sundays at least, and certainly give due consideration, I think, to Saturdays as well until we get maybe to a new policy, I'm glad to support the motion. Aye.
Fish?
I think this has been a very good discussion. I appreciate that we're going to move forward to address the underlying issues, and as I mentioned to Mary Helen earlier today, having an active construction site next to my house has been an educational experience, and I think there are a number of issues we need to get right and better. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I will support granting this appeal. I do strongly believe that we need to provide our our residents some certainty about when they can count on quiet zones or quiet time, so I like the suggestion of a no-work weekend. And I think that's something that this committee will consider, along with a lot of the other good ideas that came forward in 2001 that didn't get implemented. But I think it's very important, probably more important today than it is in 2001, given the growing population of our city and the growing density. So we need to learn to be good neighbors with each other. Aye.
Novick?
I really appreciate that people are bringing thoughtfulness and creativity to this issue, and I think it's been demonstrated Mary Helen Kincaid can solve any problem, no matter how naughty, so I'm glad that she's stepping forward to do that. I'm actually going to vote against granting the appeal because it's sort of a processy reason, which is that if we need to change the rules, we should change the rules. But until we change the rules, my tendency would be to defer to our citizen boards like the Noise Advisory Board. I think that they're the most appropriate venue to resolve these disputes and until such time as we choose to change the rules. So in light of that, I would vote to deny the appeal.
Hales?
Well, sometimes we learn from contested cases where the system needs improvement, and I think that's been the case here. So I appreciate your perseverance in bringing this issue to us in a particular case. But again, I want to call on talented staff, not only in the Bureau, but also in my office, to work with folks in the community that want to dig into this. I do need to go back and read that document from 2001. And see what remains on that list. I'm not interested in a shelf study again, so we should come up with things that we want to actually change and change them. I reflected on this again the other day when I was running for mayor 3 years ago. There were two cranes on the horizon anywhere in Portland, and they were both for public works projects. Now there are a lot more, and some of them are pretty close to each other, and some of them are close to people that moved in before the cranes were there. So, you know, we had a recession in between 2001 and now, and maybe lulled us into a false sense of security that the rules that we had would be sufficient for a boom. We're in a boom now, and we're going to be in one for a while. So Mr. Sweet and others that serve on this board are going to probably be busy, but I think the question is going to be busy with what rules. So we will work on that. Thank you. Aye. Okay.